Rams are going to gamble here on third down.
From the 7 on the far left hash, 3rd and 4. They get a first down before they get a touchdown. And here's a shotgun for Picton. A jump ball in the end zone. Caught! Mitch Picton! And that's a Rams touchdown!
Growing the Game with Ballsy is a podcast dedicated to growing the game of football in Saskatchewan. Each week, Michael Ball will talk with Rider guests, but he'll also highlight amateur athletes, coaches, and builders in this province, growing the game we love. Now, here's Ballsy.
Growing the Game with Ballsy, brought to you by Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan. Thanks to David Dubay for his outstanding support of this podcast and the Concord Group of Companies. Mark Greshner Photography. Check out his work at markgreshner.com. The Boys Next Door Window Cleaning. Nathan and Landon, check out their website, theboysnextdoor.ca. Also, Riviera Ag Seeds in Radville. Thanks to Paul Riviera and his family for their support once again of this podcast. Also, want to say thanks to Zelko Stefanovic out there at the Yar Center in Moose Jaw on the SAS Selects football program. When we return to play, stay tuned for a very big 7-on-7 announcement. Paul Waldo over at Royal LePage in Regina. If you want to get in the real estate game, give him a call, 306-502-5355. And Corey Zadarozniak out there at Double Z Ag Sales in Weyburn, a fine supporter of this podcast and Saskatchewan football at large. Apple's Worldwide Developers Conference was held this past weekend, and they announced new technology called CarKey. It's an app that uses near-field communication to unlock and start your car just by tapping your iPhone on the handle of tech-equipped cars. Yeah, that's going to go well.
Okay, come on. Tap, tap. Oh, come on, unlock the car. Siri, open the car.
Looking. Which bar? Tap the one you want.
Not the bar. Siri, I need my car keys.
Here's what I found.
No, not Songs by the Black Keys.
I'm having trouble playing that.
Open my car! I need car keys! Open the car!
Mike Thomas joining us here in Growing the Game with Ballsy, former outstanding receiver with the Regina Rams, but we know him in the community here as the face of football in Saskatchewan with Football Saskatchewan and the Flag Football League. I know the Spring League is always popular. We know, Mike, because of COVID-19, we couldn't pull it off, but it looks like, all things considered, maybe in a different form or fashion, we'll get to some flag football here or touch football in the fall.
Yeah, you know, Ballsy, it's been definitely a difficult spring season, disappointing one with everything that's gone on. The positive from this is when we were able to start delivering packages to people's homes and see the happy faces of those kids receiving something, although they didn't get a chance to play on their squads. But with that said, as you mentioned, it does look, all things considered, that we are going to be able to go this fall. And man, has the response been tremendous by families and kids. And it's shaping up to be our best fall season to date.
Yeah, talk about the response. Can you give us any numbers in comparison to previous years?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's actually been kind of crazy where we're actually having to stop registration for our summer camp, which we usually do in July, but we're not running it until late August. And for the league itself, we're just approaching 1,100 kids, which prior to this year, the most we'd had was 930-some just in 2019. So you can definitely see that there are families that are eager to get their kids back in the sport, kids that are eager to get back, as well as, you know, it's a different opportunity for some who may not be ready to play tackle or may not want to play tackle football, but yet still want to play the game. So that's the great thing about, you know, the option to play flag, is that it's a great alternative to another sport that or another type of sport that we have within football. And we can see that definitely there is a lot of people that are wanting to get back in and are excited to do so starting when the league will begin in September.
So what is that league going to look like in terms of different practices for safety? And I mean, obviously, COVID-19 safety.
Yeah, you know, it's with the different different recommendations and guidelines that have been set forth, not only by Saskatchewan Health Authority and the government of Saskatchewan, but also by the governing body of Football Saskatchewan. The league itself will look a little bit different. You know, we will have one less field than what we normally will have. But since there isn't any youth sport activity this fall, we will have full use of the turf field as well, which will enable us to be able to have more spacing in between fields and will allow the social distancing needed for the players and the parents. The great thing about the fall program is that the fields are bigger, so that just automatically gives more opportunity for that spacing in between players and limit the amount of contact that would really kind of occur, except for when a player is coming in close to pull a flag and such. So there'll be some rules in regards to, you know, some of the things we do for sportsmanship, which is always if you pull somebody's flag, you hand it back to them. You know, it'll be something that, you know, they will just leave it on the ground, and then the other player will pick it up and return. So we don't have a lot of that transmission going on back and forth between players. You know, some of the other things you're talking about in terms of social distancing for, you know, parents and spectators, you know, there's, you know, we're looking at, depending upon things as it stands right now, we will probably only have one parent per household be able to attend games. But should the numbers change and allow it, we would then obviously adopt and just, you know, kind of update things in that sense. But those are some of the small things. Obviously, sanitization, those types of things will be occurring. That's going to be a very commonality type of thing that you will see across the board in all sports, which will be no different with us. And some other things in terms of huddles and stuff like that, you know, we've been talking about, you know, not having those things, which, you know, then leads to a little bit more of more difficulties with the younger kids. That, you know, we're still trying to work with our different groups to see exactly how we can manage each thing appropriately.
What about like things like face protection, like wearing masks? How about, I know a lot of kids do it anyway, but would you make gloves mandatory, that type of thing? And will the ball be wiped down regularly?
Yeah, so the ball will be wiped down, actually, in between series is what we're looking at having to be done. With the research that's been out there in terms of physical activity and mask wearing, it's not been recommended to have that amongst the players that are playing. It does depends on the level and the type of mask and all those types of things. However, and even with officials running up and down the field, masks can sometimes be restrictive in terms of breathability for some people. And then you also have those that have phobias and those types of things. So we're really trying to ensure that we're trying to follow the different guidelines that are or recommendations, but also look at the different research that is out there in regards to those types of things. Will gloves be required? Absolutely. You know, and that's why we're going to be sending out the information to our families well in advance for them to be able to look into those things. Because it's not like you can run down to your local Western Cycle or Royal Sports or Sport Check or any sporting goods store here in the city and just all of a sudden have 1,000 pairs available.
Right.
So, you know, you need to have some time and whether it be if people are able to get it locally, which is great, or they have to order it online, at least it gives them some time to do that. But that will be one of the recommendations that we'll be asking parents to have their child have. And of course, as I mentioned, it's not just us. There's going to be people all over the place and not only in our province and our country, but in the U.S. as well. So it's once again, it's going to be kind of that, you know, you got to get it before everybody else does. And unfortunately, that's the situation that we're dealing with and a lot of other organizations will be as well.
Now, don't take this the wrong way. I've always said I wanted to be black because black athletes just strike me as better. They're just smooth guys. Like when I see Mike Thomas walking down the street, I'm like, there's a badass smooth guy. But Mike, you're a black Canadian. Race has been a big thing and racial inclusion and everything like that. Have you guys, you know, internally addressed that? And has there been any issues like that? And have you, you know, with respect to that, had to address something like that internally?
You know, we haven't had any issues. Let me rephrase that. In the entire 13 years of myself running this organization as a black individual, for a lot of times, people don't know who I am or who I was and such because all they saw was an email. And so, you know, there's never been anything from my end of that kind of context in my position here. From a player perspective, we've had one incident in 13 years, and that one was something of an educational component that we were able to address with the team and with the parents that were involved. And it wasn't anything to go that, you know, a kid was attacked and a mom and dad was attacked. It was more of an educational piece for everybody to understand and know. You know, and it was a young child, and one that was innocent in the statement and didn't know exactly the ramifications of what he was saying. In that sense, that is a great chance for people to learn and understand, whether it be culture, history, meaning, and just knowing how it affects a player emotionally, and not just emotionally, continuously throughout their youth and just throughout their time in society, if that is continuously happening to them. So that was something of a, you know, because I knew the child and I knew the mother and I knew what was going on, it was something that we were able to all collectively be able to address in a positive manner. In terms of everything that's gone on with the Black Lives Matter movement and all that is encompassed with that, as an organization, we looked internally and said, you know, is there anything here that can be brought to the forefront or that needs to be addressed? Or is there any type of disservice or anything that we are doing to dissuade? Or is there any type of systemic racism that we would see or foresee in our organization, whether it be from volunteers, whether it be for coaches, officials, or whatever the case may be? And it was a great conversation because at that time, everybody was able to look internally and to think and look at how we've done things, how we've, you know, brought in officials, how we've brought in coaches. And yes, even though people volunteer, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to take them. And when we look back at it, and it's like there might be more of one gender or more of one ethnicity or more of one color that might be volunteering. However, the opportunities for all people of all ethnicities, of all sexes, all races are prevalent and are available. And when we look at it, it's like we are definitely trying to ensure that we're giving everybody an opportunity, making sure that everyone has a chance to be a part of things. Now, of course, here in Canada, you know, our level of systemic racism is probably more prevalent from an Indigenous side, more so than it is from a Black side. And that's just me speaking here within our own province and knowing what goes on here. So, you know, that is something that we look at, and we've reached out to the Aboriginal community prior to, and within the Black community, and even, you know, players that are East Indian or players that are Asian or players that are Filipino or players that are, you know, that are outside of our realm or that have moved over to our country during the wars that were going on in their own places. It has been something, and especially working with the Regina Open Door Society, where last year we did an initiative with Football Saskatchewan that we reached out to try to have the inclusion occur. We've went into those schools to ensure that this sport is available. We want to have this opportunity there. And it's been great because we've been a part of Treaty 4 Days out in Fort Capel. We've done different initiatives and given opportunities annually at inner city schools where there is a higher number of Aboriginal students and or sometimes students of other origins. And so when we look at it as an organization, we look at sport as an opportunity to bring everybody together. As you know, and both I know playing on a football team, football is one of the greatest sports that allows people of all walks of life, whether you're big, tall, fat, small, doesn't matter. Football takes them all. And we all work together collectively, no matter what the color of your skin is, for one common goal, all for one person or another person or each other. So that's been the values and the things that I think have been so beneficial to football and even in flag, that it's just a non-contact sport, but it's a sport. It makes people, it forces people to interact, to learn from each other, to be able to gain social cues, be able to just explore and understand being a part of a team. And I think that, you know, in this movement right now, this is what people need to understand is that things have occurred in the past, and what has happened in the past is people now are trying to bring to light as to what it means for somebody of a different color to go through some of these issues, and what has been always happening, and trying to erase, or not erase, but try to move forward in a new direction where this does not exist or will not exist. And from our league standpoint, we look at this and say, we haven't had those issues. However, not saying that we're not immune to having something like that occur, but our interest and our look and our outview will always be to ensure that any kid that wants to play have an opportunity to play. Yeah. And that anybody that wants to learn and be a part of it will not be excluded and will not be ridiculed or not be segregated because of the color of their skin, because the origin of where they are, because of the sex that they are, the religion, whatever the case may be. And that is something that I will say that we're definitely proudest about over the years, to have over 26,000 kids go through our program, that we can look back and say fondly that we did things the right way and made sure the kids all had an opportunity no matter where they came from and when they wanted to play.
That's outstanding. Great words from Mike Thomas, who obviously is passionate about the subject and passionate about his sports. And Mike, I don't care if it's black or white, Asian, Indigenous, big or small. I can't wait to watch flag football in the fall.
Thank you so much, Mike. It's much appreciated. And, you know, we definitely look forward to having all the kids out. But most importantly, the parents. And just thank for the support that they have given us over these crazy times here during the pandemic. And we look forward to repaying that tenfold once we're able to get back on the field safely for everybody this fall.
All right, before we wrap things up, who else is sick of the New England Patriots? I mean, I thought for once, just one time, just once, they'd be like 6-10 or 5-11 or 4-12. They had Jason or Jared Stidham. He's like 1-for-3 career passing, and Brian Hoyer. Like, Brian Hoyer's in the league and Colin Kaepernick's not in the league. Anyway, those were the Patriot quarterbacks, and I thought, okay, like, they're going to, the Bills have a chance to win, and the Dolphins have a chance to win, and the Jets. Well, the Jets don't have a chance to win. Jet stands for just end the season. But anyway, maybe somebody else wins the AFC East. How about that? Like, the Patriots wouldn't suck bad enough to get the first overall pick, Trevor Lawrence, out of Clemson, but they'd suck bad enough just to be like 4th or 5th overall. But no, they go out and get Cam Newton, 1 year, $7.5 million. That's if and only if he reaches all his incentives. Cam friggin' Newton. Anybody else offers him an incentive-laden deal for $7.5 million, he laughs at them and goes and has another drink. Belichick does, and he's like, Belichick's like, hey, you want to play for $3? He's like, yeah, sign me up. Sign me up. I'm going to play for your team. I'm your starting quarterback. Like, they're going to be in the AFC Championship game again. And they cheat. They just got fined $1.1 million and stripped of a third-round draft pick because their filming crew filmed the Bengals' sidelines before a game last year. The Cincinnati friggin' Bengals. The Pee Wee Mustangs in the RMF could beat the Cincinnati Bengals without cheating. But Belichick cheats to beat the Bengals, which I kind of respect. He's going to do anything he has to win. And you only have to... You only have to realize this by looking at his football camp that he teaches the youth every year. Check this out. It's unbelievable.
Patriots coach Bill Belichick, giving back to the community.
Yeah, every spring I hold a Pee Wee football camp. Kids are great. Kyle, come here.
Yeah, coach?
Your brother plays for the other team, right?
Yep.
Night before game, drop an X-Lax in the milk.
But that's wrong.
Fine. Be a loser. I don't care.
It's the Belichick Spring Football Camp.
Kids, being an NFL coach means playing the other game, the mind game.
Mind game?
Yeah, like this. Terry, you're adopted.
I am?
Yes. And Marty, if you fail, your dad's going to strangle your mother in her sleep. Now get moving.
Your son will learn the real NFL game.
All right, I'm going to show you how to do a leg whip. Terry, you run a slow 40. Get in this drill.
Okay, coach. Ow, my leg is broken.
Yeah, well, that's football, kid.
Oh,
you're cut.
Coach Belichick teaches the fundamentals.
Kids, deception's your best ally. See this cast? It's fake. Terry, get up here.
Ow!
See, it splits these plastic Pee-wee helmets like paper.
It's Coach Belichick's way of giving back to the game he loves.
Yay!
This has been Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a football story you'd like to share to help us grow the game, email Michael Ball at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. Ballsy can be heard weekdays in Regina on 104.9 The Wolf Morning Show and during Saskatchewan Roughriders and U of R Rams broadcasts on 620 CKRM.